name. Amen.
Amen. Let's look at verse number 1 where the Bible read, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." The Bible warns in 2 Peter chapter number 3 that there's going to be people that are labeled as scoffers. Now, what is a scoffer? If you look up in the dictionary, a scoffer is defined as someone who jeers or mocks or treats something with contempt or calls out in derision. Some synonyms would be someone who jeers, a mocker, a flouter. It says it's someone that's a disagreeable person. It's described as an unpleasant person, a person who is not pleasant or agreeable. This is what a scoffer is. And the Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be a lot of scoffers. And you say, scoffers at what? Well, the passage is going to tell us, but mostly just the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, the true God of this world. There's going to be so many people that scoff at God. They scoff at the ideas of the Bible. And so if the Bible tells us this, and we believe the Bible, why would we be surprised when there's a bunch of scoffers standing outside scoffing at the Word of God, scoffing at the Bible? It's not a shock. The Bible already told us this. If it wasn't happening, I'd be reading my Bible wondering, well, where are all those scoffers that the Bible kept talking about? Oh, yeah, they're right here. They're just walk outside. There's plenty of scoffers out there. Now, it says in the last days, okay? Keep your finger here because I want to keep reading this chapter. But flip forward just a few pages. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. Some people would ask the question, when are the last days? How do we know if we're in the last days? What is that timing? Well, the Bible actually uses another phrase that's very similar and says that we are currently in the last days, okay? Look at 1 John chapter number 2, verse 18. The Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So the Bible says it is the last time. Why? Because Antichrist exists. Right after the Lord Jesus Christ came, there was people going around being an Antichrist, trying to be in the place of Christ, trying to call themselves Jesus Christ. And look, there's weird cults in this world today where people literally say that they're the second coming of Jesus Christ. They have these followings. There's this one guy in Russia, he has his own commune, where he literally declares himself Jesus Christ. He has hundreds of followers. They're out there. But you know, in this passage, it's saying there's people going to be coming out of us, and they're going to be Antichrist. Doing what? Denying Jesus. People denying the Trinity. Going out and teaching damnable doctrine and damnable heresy, rejecting God. And the Bible says that's a proof that we're in the last times. If someone goes out from our church denying Jesus Christ, becoming an Antichrist, that's just more proof that we're nearing the end. As we have more scoffers, that's just more proof that we're near the end, that we're in the last days. Go back to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And we see that's a different group. Why? Because the devil does not have one way to attack us. You must understand that the devil tries to attack us in every way possible. Broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, is what the Bible says. The devil will use any lie that he can possibly use to try to destroy the truth, to try and to deceive people, to try and get them off the faith. And Antichrist, that's a great way. Take the truth and pervert it. But then there's also people that are just scoffing. They don't even try to accept any of the truth. They just reject it all. They try to just mock it and jeer at it and say that it's stupid or foolish. But they're the ones that are stupid and foolish. And we see, what is it that they're truly scoffing at? Look at verse number 4 and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So in this passage, he gives us four different things that these people are willingly ignorant of. Willingly ignorant of. And the title of this morning's sermon is Willingly Ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Now, I like this phrase in verse number 5. It says that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now, a lot of people, and myself included, okay, I got really excited about the doctrine called young earth creationism, okay, or young earth creationism. And obviously, I agree with what's taught, that the earth is only about 6,300 years old. I just never really liked the title, because when you look at it in your Bible, it says, hey, the earth was created at an old time. You know why? Because 6,300 years is really old. If someone was in this room, was that old, you'd be like, that guy's really old. You can't even comprehend how old 6,300 years is. In fact, Dallas, okay, this city, it was founded in 1841. This city's not even 200 years old. Imagine going back 6,300 years. You can't even fathom how old that truly is. So even though we say it's young earth creationism, that's all relative and comparative. But according to the Bible, it says that the earth is old. So I believe that. I like that phrase. That was just a nugget. But the four things we see in this passage are that they're willingly ignorant of Christ's return. They're ignorant that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. They're ignorant of the creation. They're ignorant of the flood. And lastly, they're ignorant of the day of judgment. So let's dive in some of these things that they're willingly ignorant of. Go to Jude chapter 1. Flip forward in your Bible. Close to Revelation, Jude. And let's look at verse number 14. The Bible actually has a lot of scripture dealing with this subject. A lot more than I actually, you know, initially thought of or initially was aware of. And so I want you to turn your Bible these places so that we can renew our minds with the Word of God and actually understand what the Bible says and how the Bible addresses these people. But it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." So in Jude chapter 1, it's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is he coming? Look at verse 15. "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." So what is the Bible saying? It's saying the exact same thing. There's going to be scoffers in the last days. Then it says there's going to be mockers in the last time. Now, what was that last time phrase? We saw that in 1 John chapter number 2. Look, it is the last time. There's many antichrists, there's many scoffers, there's many mockers. It's the same group. And what are they mocking in Jude chapter number 1? We read in verse 14, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They mock the fact that God's going to return back to this earth and he's going to judge them for their ungodly deeds. How many times do you use the word ungodly? And that just, I mean, it's just like every other mention is just ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. And look, the people that are atheists, these people that are the scoffers, these people that are the mockers are the most ungodly group of people on the planet. They are the most wicked, and they often try to exert their moral superiority over God. They try to say, well, I don't believe the Bible and God because he's not loving. He's not kind. He's not good. No, you're not good. You're the one that's ungodly. You're the one that's immoral. You're the one that perverts everything that's righteous and holy and godly. But we'll get there. Go, if you would, to Psalms chapter 14. Let's get a direct mention of these people. What? We're willingly ignorant of Christ's return. Why? Because they reject the Word of God. The Word of God manifests the fact that Christ will return, but they hate the Bible. They hate the Word of God. It's so offensive to them. It reproaches them. It tells them how ungodly they are. Look, I didn't wake up this morning and I was offended by the Quran. I wasn't offended by the Book of Mormon. I wasn't offended by Aesop's fables. You know why? Because it's not true. Why is it that these people aren't going around protesting all these other religions and all these other churches and all these other things? Why? Because it's not true. And there's so many churches today, they just constantly preach lies. I guess they don't need to go protest them. They want to come protest us because we actually believe what the Bible says. We actually open our Bibles and we just read what it says and just believe it. Like, I'm not some magical preacher. I'm not doing anything special. Anybody can get up here. Any man that just has a little bit of the Spirit of God in him can just read the Bible and understand what the Bible's teaching. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. The problem is most people aren't doing it. Why? Because we're in the last times. Because we're in the last days. But look at what these people are like. Psalms 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know who decides that there is no God? A fool. That's what the Bible says. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. So we notice that this group, they hate God. What else is attached to them? They're filthy. They're abominable. They're wicked. They do the worst, most unimaginable, ungodly things, is what the Bible's saying. And notice this, they're described as the workers of iniquity. If you study that phrase in your Bible, you'll realize the workers of iniquity, they're not just sinners, they're sinners exceedingly. And as I taught recently, what's an exceeding sinner? It's someone that goes beyond just being a sinner. They're beyond the fact, look, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, okay? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none good but one, that's God, okay? But there's not just sinning and that's it. There's sinners, then there's exceeding sinful. Then there's workers of iniquity. There's these abominable, horrible people here. And the Bible says, they eat up my people as they eat bread. So he makes a distinction from the workers of iniquity, from the God haters, to his people. And notice that the God haters want to eat up his people. They want to destroy his people. They hate his people. Those people hate my guts. They can stand there and say, oh, I love so much. We love you. They're lying through their teeth. He said, this guy that's organized his protest, okay? He said to me this morning, everyone's amazing. I love everyone. I said, so you think rapists are amazing? I think everyone's amazing. You think murderers are amazing? I think everyone's amazing. You think pedophiles are amazing? Everyone. Every single person's amazing. I said, do you believe in the death penalty? No. I said, if I kill 1,000 people, no. They're so wicked. But you know what? I'm sure if there was a bunch of people protesting and saying, hey, let's put Pastor Shelley to death, they'd be fine with that. They're lying. They're liars. They're deceitful. They're abominable. They're corrupt. That's what the Bible tells me. I'm not just making this up. That's what the Bible said before I was born. Way before I was born. It's from old, okay? It's very old, all right? You say, what's old? 6,300 years, all right? Go to Psalms 53. Why is it that they reject Christ? Because they reject the Bible. They reject God. They're wicked. Psalms 53, verse 1. It's going to sound familiar. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now look, the Bible has lots of information, but if God literally puts the exact same thing in there multiple times, it's important. He wanted to stress something. You are a fool if you reject God. You are a fool to deny the existence of God. It's literally the dumbest thing on the planet. I am not joking. They make flat earthers look intelligent. I'm not joking. Look, a flat earther could be saved. Hey, at least they acknowledge that someone created it. I could believe that the earth was created flat, more than denying the existence of God. Why? Because it's literally the dumbest thing on the planet. And they're willingly stupid. They're willingly ignorant. They're willingly dumb. You say, why are you using this type of language, these type of words? Well, the Bible called them fools, did it not? Let me just read for you the dictionary definition of the word fool, okay? A person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person. Its synonyms are idiot, nincompoop, buffoon, dunce, dolt, ignoramus, imbecile, moron. I'm not just making this up. I'm just trying to do what the Bible says. The Bible says to put the words of God in modern vernacular, to make it plain, that he that readeth may run. The Bible says that God has ordained preaching. So look, I'm going to make it plain. What is a fool? It's an idiot. If we look up idiot in the dictionary, it says someone with a mental illness or a very low level of intelligence. These people have a sickness of the mind. And look, they're worse than the mentally handicapped. I looked up the mentally handicapped. The dictionary says someone who is not able to learn or develop skills at the same rate as most other people because they have a problem with their brain. It is now considered more polite to say that someone has a developmentally disability or that they are learning disabled. You can't sugarcoat it. Look, obviously someone's slow. That's not necessarily their fault. It's not necessarily someone's fault if they have a mental handicap or if they have some kind of a disability. And I'm not mad at those people. You know, we should love those people. We should be kind to those people. The Bible says it would be wicked to be mean to people that are blind or dumb or maybe are slow or ignorant, as the Bible says. You know what? These atheists are different because they're willingly ignorant. They're choosing to be mentally handicapped on purpose. How stupid. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, who can have compassion on the ignorant? You know, we ought to have compassion on people that are unaware of what the Bible teaches. We ought to love them and want to go out and preach the gospel to them and make the gospel manifest and help them call upon the name of the Lord. But you know what? These atheists are not that category. They are not ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. They're deciding to be stupid on purpose. They're deciding to reject God on purpose. Go to John chapter number 8 in your Bible. John chapter number 8. This is a very important point. How can you be dumb on purpose? Well, you have to be exposed to the truth and then decide to reject it. It's not that these people haven't heard of God. It's not that these people haven't heard of Jesus Christ. In all of these stories, are they ignorant of who Jesus is? Are we saying, hey, Jesus Christ can return? Who's that? No, they're literally scoffing at the idea that Christ is returning. Why? Because they know who Christ is. They've seen it in their Bible. They've heard it preached. They're aware of what's going on. And they decide on purpose to reject him. They decide on purpose to scoff at him. They decide on purpose to mock and ridicule everything that the Bible teaches. We have to make that clear. You say, well, what if we show them more truth? It's not going to fix it. It's not that they haven't been exposed to the truth. It's not that let's just get them more of the cure. Look at John chapter 8, verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. When Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees, you would think, well, why didn't they get saved? I mean, everything that came out of Jesus Christ's mouth was truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You would think, well, they just need more exposure to Jesus. But he said, look, you're not going to ever believe me. Why? Because I speak the truth. They're willingly ignorant of the truth. They rejected the truth. The more truth you give them, it doesn't fix anything. Look, if you're immune to the cure, it doesn't matter how much cure you pump into that body, it's not going to fix the cancer. It's not going to fix the disease. And these atheists that hate God and have rejected God, you know what? There's no cure. I can't pump more truth into them. I can't show them more truth. Why do you not believe the truth? Because you're not of God, is what the Bible says. Look, I want to have compassion on the ignorant. Believe me, okay? This afternoon, we're going to go out and have a lot of compassion on the ignorant and try to help them show what the Bible says. But a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Why? Because if the truth won't cure you, nothing will. It's not my power, my might. There's nothing in me. I can't come up with some really great logic. I'm not going to come up with the crocoduck and change about the atheist into believing in Jesus. You say, what's the crocoduck? There is this stupid evangelist, Ray Comfort. He's an evangelist of hell, okay? And Kirk Cameron, his sidekick buddy, they did a debate with some atheists on like NBC. And they said, well, if you believe in evolution, then where's the crocoduck? And they draw some picture of like a half crocodile, half duck, weird freak, you know, drawing that came out of their defiled mind and heart. And they're saying, well, because this doesn't exist, believe the Bible. It's like, who would decide to believe the Bible because of a stupid drawing? And they mocked him and ridiculed him. Why? You're not going to change the mind of these God haters. It's worthless. And in fact, they made Christianity look stupid by not being able to articulate or explain anything from the Bible. In fact, they started the debate, and the atheists say, we only agree to debate you if you never use the Bible. Why would you agree to a debate like that? I don't have any power. I don't have any might. It's the truth that converts people's hearts. It's the Holy Ghost that has the power. It's God's word that has the power. I don't have any special power. Go, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 8. Look, they reject the gospel. They've heard it. They hate it. They mock it. They reject his coming. They know who Jesus Christ is from what the Bible says. They've seen it. They've heard it. They just reject it. Look, just because the Bible is true does not mean everyone will accept it. God gave us free will. I don't believe in this Calvinist lie of irresistible grace where, well, if you just got exposed to the truth, you'll just believe. It's impossible to resist. It's impossible to resist the grace, and it's impossible to resist the truth. Look, people resist the truth wholesale. Broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. And if we couldn't resist God's will, we'd all be saved. And we'd all do the right thing every single time. The reason why there's sin, filth, and wickedness in this world is because God allows us to reject them. Not only are they willingly ignorant of his return, though, they're just ignorant of God and his creation. The Bible clearly said they were ignorant of his creation. And there's two things that separate God from man. There's probably more, but I'm just saying there's two that are just very evident, very manifest. The first one is the fact that God gives us free will. You know what? I can't give anything free will. I can't make something have free will. You know, I've been a software developer for several years now. I've developed lots of different programs. But you know what it's always subject to? Its creator. It only does what I tell it to do. Artificial intelligence is just trickery. Because you know what? It just does what it's programmed to do. It doesn't have a mind of its own. It can never think. It can never have a consciousness. And I can't give anything consciousness. I can't take a rock and make it have a heart and a soul and have some kind of free will. It's only going to be subject to me. I'll pick it up and I'll throw it. And you know what? It's subject to my will. If I create some kind of dumb idol, which the people did in the Bible for thousands of years, it was subject to them. It didn't open its mouth and start speaking. It didn't start giving them, you know, commands and start telling them to do stuff. We can't give something free will. I defy you to find something that a man has given free will. Doesn't happen. God is the arbiter of free will. That's what makes him different. That's why the Calvinist God is inferior and stupid and foolish, because the Calvinist God is made in the image of man. Secondly, what distinguishes God from man is the fact that he gives life. I also cannot give life. I cannot take something that is inanimate and turn it into something that's alive. Give it life. That is impossible for man to do. Now, obviously, life can produce life, and being a man and my wife, we can produce children, but that was life giving life, and I didn't do anything. It was God. God is the one that blessed me with children. God is the one that created them in their mother's womb. It wasn't anything of my own volition. It wasn't, I'm deciding I'm going to make children. You know, it was through God's creation that we have children, okay? But they teach that all creation came from nothing. I mean, the majority of these people believe that, or they have no answer. Look at Exodus chapter number 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon men and upon beasts. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. You know, in this story, the magicians, they're able to match Moses and Aaron on a lot of the things that they do. They can kind of perform through trickery, deceit, or the power of Satan. They somehow kind of mimic some of the miracles that were done by Moses. But when it gets to a point where God's literally taking dust and making it come to life, they're like, "We can't do that. We can't bring anything to life. This is the finger of God." At least these false prophets, at least these worshipers of Satan, could at least recognize, hey, this is from God, you know? But we see the atheist today, he's still stuck on the fact that he has no idea how anything comes alive. There was this experiment done by Stanley Miller and Harold Urey, okay? They were going to create life in the laboratory through a chemical experiment in 1952. Guess what? They failed. They just changed some of the chemical composition of what they were doing. They didn't produce life. You know what the problem is? They didn't immediately realize, oh, creation's the finger of God. They were dumber. They were more idiotic than Pharaoh's magicians. Pharaoh's magicians were like, "This is God." Creation, life, this is obviously God. You know what? They have no way to explain where life came from. None. Zero. They want to say, "Oh, we love science and reason and knowledge and understanding. Where did life come from?" They have nothing. It's foolish. It's willingly ignorant. They say, "Well, where's all the evidence? You know, where's the evidence for your God? Where's the evidence for all this stuff?" How about creation? Your evidence. Where'd it come from? You have a mountain of evidence before your eyes. You have to believe it came from somewhere. You have to understand that there's a beginning somewhere. Now, go to Romans chapter number 1. Because they have infinite amount of proof. They want to claim they have no proof. Everything is proof. Literally. They are proof that there is a beginning. They are proof that there is a creator. They are proof that the Bible's true. Them scoffing this morning is just proof that 2 Peter chapter 3 is a portion of my Bible that I needed to read. A lot of churches, they never have any practical application for that. "No one's ever protested our church." Oh, okay. Well, what about 2 Peter chapter 3? "No one's ever scoffed at me or my church." Well, are you living godly in Christ Jesus? Because the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So if you want to suffer persecution, then live godly. If you don't live godly. And I promise you will receive very little, if any, persecution. You might receive a lot of punishment, a lot of chastisement from God. You know what? I'd rather be persecuted by these fags and atheists than have God punish me. That's my options, okay? Have God constantly punishing me and mad at me and upset with me, or to have these freaks. You know what? They don't scare me. They don't intimidate me. The guy in a kilt. Guess what? It's a skirt, my friend. Quit trying to dress it up. Why do you want to dress like a girl anyways? Why do you have to be so ungodly? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The Bible says God's creation is clearly seen. Not even the things that we see, the invisible aspects to the creation. Gravity, mathematics, intelligence, their so-called love for science. Look, all of that intelligence has to exist and come from somewhere. You know, it comes from God. Because God is all knowledge. God's knowledge surpasses humankind. He has complete wisdom, all truth. Look, You can't even have truth without God. What would truth even be? You're like Pilate. What is truth? Look, truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is the Bible. Truth is the Word of God. You know what? So many people, they hate certain aspects of this Bible today. They hate 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, I don't want scoffers. I don't want mockers. Well, it's truth. I like it. I actually love it. I think it's great. I woke up excited, you know? It's fun to actually earnestly contend for the faith. I would feel like if we never had anything happening, we must not be following the Bible. We must not be doing what the Bible says. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They think that they are the smartest people on the planet. If we go out there, they all think that they're wise. I've never met an atheist that's like, well, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. They think they're literally the smartest person on the planet. They think they are God. They change God into themselves. They say, you know what? We have rights only given by man, not by our creator. They want to advocate human rights only given by man. That's why they want to be the arbiters of human rights, the arbiters of what's good and holy and righteous, even though what they want to spread is filth and abomination. And in fact, and for hundreds of years, American laws literally said, put homosexuals to death. That's not my opinion. That's not even it is the Bible's opinion, okay? But it's not just the Bible's opinion. It was literally just American citizens' opinion for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I say, hey, let's just keep doing that. And then I'm crazy. Well, you also have to think all of our founding fathers are crazy. All of Americans are crazy for hundreds of years. You just have to reject everything that our society has built this country on. It's not my opinion. Go listen to Sodomite Deception if you disagree with me, all right? I quote it constantly. But you know what? These atheists are without excuse. You are the evidence that God exists. Now, one of the famous atheists, he was asked, Richard Dawkins, where did everything come from? Because they want to constantly look at us and say, you have no evidence. You have no support. You know, you just believe blind fables and stories and stuff. Okay, Richard Dawkins, tell us, where did everything come from? He replied, it was a happy chemical accident. Oh, so scientific. Didn't you realize that Miller and Urey already decided they couldn't produce life? So you know what? You have blind faith. You don't even base it on anything. Why? Because it's literally the dumbest thing. They're willingly ignorant. Go if you would to Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24. So what have we seen so far? They're ignorant of Christ. They're ignorant of the return of Christ, willingly. They're willingly ignorant of the creation. The Bible also says they're willingly ignorant of the flood. They reject Noah's Ark. In fact, it's usually one of their highest points of contention. They constantly try to ridicule the story of the Ark, of the global flood, which is just so obvious and so evident. You know, there's this book that I bought. I don't know if it's necessarily the best book or anything, but it's called Flood Legends, which is an interesting book. It basically, every single society in the entire world, all of them, have a story about a global flood. And most of the elements are very similar as to very few people are getting on the ark. They took all the animals, they were preserved, and the entire earth was flooded. Look, for every single person to have the same story, let me tell you, something must have happened. It's interesting. Now they want to say, well, the Bible just copied them. How does that work? Did they go interview every single person on the planet back then? They think they were all like cavemen rolling like a stone on the ground. But they somehow found every single person on the planet, interviewed them, found out about their flood legend, and decided to write the greatest book ever. Or perhaps the Bible recorded the truth, and then everybody kind of perverted a little bit of that story. That's actually a believable situation. You know, whenever you play the gossip game or the telephone game, and everybody kind of has generally the same story, there's a source to that story. There's a source to the flood story. It's called the Bible. It's called the truth. But they're willingly ignorant of this. Look at Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible likens the second coming of Christ to the story of Noah. Now, what was the world like before God destroyed it with a flood? Filled with violence. Every thought of their heart was only continually evil, is what the Bible says. A very wicked and ungodly place. You say, what's coming for America? A very wicked and ungodly place. It's sad. But you know what? Nobody seems to care. I mean, where are all these people advocating for the truth? They're fighting against these people. I mean, they're trying to infest every single area of life. And the last place that they haven't really won yet is the church. At least the godly church. They've influenced a lot of bad churches, okay? That's always been the case. But they're trying to influence this church. Why? Well, they already got the library. They got the Catholic church. They got the Methodist church. They got all the liberal Baptist churches. They got the public school system. They got the colleges. They've got virtually every single employer on this planet, it seems like. I can't even go to a site online where they're not advocating these freaks. It's disgusting. And donating money to them and setting all kinds of projects. The Trevor Project. AT&T, my phone company, you know, says, hey, we're going to pay all this money to have a hotline for kids that are questioning if they're LGBTQ. Just to help them out. Donate. Why? Why does AT&T care? Why would a business that sells cell phones care if a bunch of LGBTQ freaks want to kill themselves or not? I think it's great if they do. I think it's wonderful. Why? Because they only pervert, they hate God, and the Bible says that they're worthy of death. And you know what? They're constantly affecting our society. You say, well, I don't want them put to death. Well, you're going to have to live around them then. You're going to have to be around them and tolerate them, and they're going to tell you how loving they are. They're so loving. They just want to destroy your family and your church and your society, and they hate God. They'll admit that they hate the Bible. They'll admit they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the person you believed in for your salvation? Do you have any sense of the Holy Spirit inside you saying, please, please advocate for Jesus? He died for you. And you can't even stand up to the worst filth imaginable? You can't even stand up to these God haters? They're willingly ignorant of the flood. Now, go to Proverbs 13. Notice, I'm going to read for you in 2 Peter 2, or where we already read, it said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible says that Noah was preaching righteousness. You know what? The world was broken and God had to destroy it. And notice he said a world of ungodly. The world of the ungodly. Why? Because these atheists are so ungodly. They're so wicked. You keep saying that, Pastor Shelley. Well, let's get some proof from the Bible, all right? How are they so ungodly? Proverbs 13, verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, who is it that hates God? A fool. And what does the Bible say about the fools? It's an abomination to them to depart from evil. They can't stand the idea of departing from wicked things. Hey, stop drinking alcohol. That's horrible. You want me to stop drinking poison? You want me to stop committing adultery? You want me to stop stealing and lying and doing everything that's wicked and ungodly? Yes. That's an abomination to them. They think it's bad to not steal, to not cheat, to not commit adultery, to not commit fornication, to not drink themselves into oblivion. They think that that would be a horrible life. They look at our life and they think we're oppressed. While they're in bondage to sin, while they're in bondage to the bottle, while they're in bondage to all kinds of filth and wickedness, they look at us and say, oh, y'all are so oppressive and y'all are so restricted. Look, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I've been liberated from the bondages of those sins. Now, obviously, no one in here is perfect. I'm not perfect. I can still fall temptation to many different sins and fall into that. But you know what? I have the power and ability through the Lord Jesus Christ to break off the bondage of sin in my life. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. I'll read for you. Proverbs 14 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." They're all a bunch of prideful people. Pride is their symbol. 15 verse 2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." So the Bible says they won't depart from evil. They're full of pride. The only thing that comes out of their mouth is foolishness. It makes a lot of sense why they support abominable things. Now look, I confirm with them, you know, I'll just believe them. They say that they're not a bunch of homos. So why in the world are they standing out there with a bunch of rainbow flags? Why would you want to promote and advocate the most abominable filth? Because they're full of wickedness. Because they're so ungodly. And they want to take the most ungodly thing imaginable and try to shove it down our throats. Try to force it upon us. Try to encourage us to embrace the worst filth. Look, if we can embrace the worst filth, the sky's the limit. They hate righteousness and truth, so they take the most darkness and they try to collide it with the light. You know what? The darkness flees from the light. They don't like the light. Now, I looked up a statistic. This article says that 94% of atheists accept homosexuality. Oh, that's shocking. I say that they're wicked, abominable, and filthy, and they love evil. And then, oh, wait, they do. 94% of them. In fact, if you were to, this is just statistics I've looked at. I looked at a lot of different articles. But basically interviewing homos and just saying, how many of you are atheists? One article said about 40 to 50% of fags proclaim to be an atheist or agnostic or some variation there. That's way higher than the general population, my friend. Now, some other articles say that it's, you know, the current population is like of a hardcore atheist type is only 3%. And they say of the homosexual orientation, it's 8%. Okay, this is the ones that are just like super, you know, there's nothing. We came from the chemical experiment or whatever. There's a lot of variation and flavor therein. But it's almost triple. Look, it's not rocket science why these people are like the way they are. Why atheists hate God, they hate right. It's not like they're more moral than us. They're not more godly. I don't care what they tell you. Oh, we love truth and righteousness and all these things. No, they don't. They love filth. They love to lie. They promote Satanism. You know, the main advocates of Satanism are just self-proclaimed atheists. The worst filth. And look, these Satanists, they are literally the worst abusers of children. When you, I don't want even to mention the stuff that they do or anywhere close to. They literally hurt children of all ages. And when I say all ages, I literally mean it. And me having a newborn baby makes that come to life, unfortunately, more. And it's disgusting. They only produce to hurt. And I looked online, their main, you know, Anton LaVey, the promoter of the Church of Satan and, you know, this satanic stuff, he's just an atheist. They say they're atheistic and nihilistic. They have a philosophy that way. And they only use Satan as a symbol of defiance. I'm shocked. They're willingly ignorant. They embrace the devil. But you know what? They are literally worshiping the devil, whether they like it or not. You can't literally worship the devil in word and tongue and say that you're not. I mean, they're promoting him. They're promoting his philosophies. They're promoting his name. You know, and it says in the description of themselves, they say, hey, we're trolling. And a lot of you, I fall victim myself, you see a comment on YouTube and you think, oh man, I want to reply to this. Look, a troll is implacable. These atheists, they're never going to be convinced. The ones that are mocking Jesus in the Bible, I'm not going to waste my breath trying to type a comment. Well, have you read John 3:16? Yeah, they're mocking it to you, to your face. Wise up a little bit. These people that are promoting the Church of Satan are literal trolls. They're literally against God. Now, why is it that they're not promoting the enemies of other religions? Because it's not true. Why? They're not going around promoting, you know, Hades, you know, and these underground world gods and stuff like that. they could care less because everybody knows it's stupid and foolish. They're advocating Satan because they know it has power. Okay, Satan, the god of this world, has power. Now, the Church of Satan, I looked this up, they've always accepted gays, lesbians, bisexuals since its foundation in 1966. And the church supports legalization of same-sex marriage. I'm shocked. Look, there's no way you look at this could you say that they don't promote wickedness and filth and abomination. They are the worst people. And in fact, here's another one that really strikes a chord with them. They hate obeying their parents. They're willingly ignorant of obeying their parents. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know what these people hate? Their parents. They hate following rules. They hate all authority. Why? Because it was God ordained. You talk to these atheists, I guarantee they have a bad relationship with their parents. Oh, I didn't like my parents. They gave me a bunch of rules. You know, they tried to tell me no. No one could tell me no. No one could tell me what to do. I want to make all the rules for our country. Why do you want to tell me what to do then? Why are you so against rules? You know what? Atheists, they actually live shorter lives. If you obey your parents, what's the promise of the Bible? To have long, long life on the earth, right? You know what? Atheists, they've done a lot of studies. They live 4 to 6 years less than their religious counterparts. Now, Proverbs chapter 9 says, forsake the foolish and live and go the way of understanding. The Bible says when you forsake them, you can live. You know that they're less likely to get married. 37% of atheists never get married. Also, they live sedentary lives. These are all things done by scientific studies. They said, you know what? They live less, they don't live as long, they don't marry, and they're completely sedentary. You know why? Because Satanism promotes the idea, the nihilist belief, that life has no meaning. They have no meaning to life. And you know what? They're not athletic. I'm shocked. The non-athletic people, they go around and they pontificate about how wise they are by rejecting God and rejecting their parents' rule. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse number 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Oh, if we just tell them that they're wrong, they'll change. You could try it 100 times. It won't fix it. Look at verse 16. Wherefore, is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Now, this is funny, because where do most of these atheists, what do they love to, you know, promote and encourage? College. Exactly. University. They're willing to pay all kinds of money to gain wisdom, and the Bible says they have no heart for it. They can't even understand it. It'd be like going out to a popsicle stand in July, okay, and buying 100 popsicles. I can't eat 100 popsicles. I'd be wasting my money. Look, they're trying to buy wisdom and truth. They can't even receive it. They're wasting their money. Look at verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. No parent is like, man, you got to meet my son. He's an atheist. They're ashamed of their children because they're like, my child's literally the dumbest person on the planet. He's willingly ignorant of just all reason, logic, everything that we see and hear and exist today. It's literally the worst thing. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Look, it hurts. It hurts your parents' heart to have a bad child, to have a foolish child, to have one that's not doing right. You know, you get true joy from your children doing that which is right. That's why it's so important to constantly discipline and instruct your children and to love them and encourage them and use the rod of correction to drive the foolishness out of his heart. You don't want to wake up and say, man, my kid's so stupid. He's such an idiot. He's such a fool. You're going to be like, man, why did I not punish him more when he was little? Because you know what? When they get bigger, you can smack them 100 times. You can't get the foolishness out of them. That's why you got to do it when they're little. Go to chapter 19. Go to chapter 19. Look, they're willingly ignorant of the flood. It's just so obvious. You know what our entire earth is covered with? Water. Fossils. All kinds of things just pointing out the flood. They just willingly ignore that. Where'd all the water come from? Isn't this interesting that they try to find on every other planet this thing called water? And they can't find it. You know, they look at Mars and they see all these craters and all this, you know, deterioration of the surface. And they say, it must have been a global flood. But then you look at our Earth where, I mean, look, if you go on Google Earth and you just kind of zoom out on the Earth, it looks obvious that the Earth has been transformed by water. There's all kinds of different draining and settling and just washing of the Earth's surface. It's just manifest that the Earth was flooded. It's so obvious, a child could understand it. But the willingly ignorant person just denies it. He's such a fool. Proverbs 19, verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. How many times is the Bible going to tell us the fool, it's just terrible to have a child that's a fool? It's not a positive thing. Back up one chapter, look at verse 2 of chapter 18. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. The only thing these people want to do is hear themselves talk. Why it's pointless to sit around and try to pontificate with them, to try and talk to them, to try and, you know, hey, let's have a reasonable discussion. That's what they want to do. Why? Because they just want to hear themselves talk. But you know what? They're not interested in actually understanding anything. They'll constantly contradict themselves and just say things that are foolish. They don't care. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll go to our last point. They won't receive understanding. They won't receive knowledge. They're full of all wickedness. They're literally dumb on purpose. That's why they can't see the flood. That's why they don't believe in creation. That's why they reject Christ. And that's why ultimately they reject the fact that one day they're going to be judged for their ungodly deeds. Look, if you knew judgment was coming, you'd shape it up. You'd do something different. That's why every single child, whenever they hear the parents rustling at the door, they immediately start acting right. I mean, my kids, they get up, they won't go to bed. I mean, I can't bribe them. I can't do anything. They won't go to bed. You know, I start rustling at the door to come in, they just dive on the bed and they're like, you know, they're kind of, yeah. Why? Because they know if judgment's coming, I'm going to fix it. You know, they got their hand in the cookie jar, they drop it, run. You know, they're like, I'm not excited about the judgment. Look, judgment strikes fear in your heart. If you could drop these atheists into hell real quick, some of them might change their mind. Now, a lot of them won't. I mean, I don't think that, you know, all these people, all these atheists, oh man, if they just really saw it, they'd believe, because the Bible says they would have believed Moses. But just judgment in general would cause a lot of people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If all the things of God were just manifested today, our church would multiply quickly, okay? Why? Because the truth of God's judgment strikes fear in a man's heart and causes him to do this. Believe. Oh, you just want fire insurance. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I heard about hell and I said, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's true. Why? Because it's right. Because it's a good thing to fear God. It's a good thing to fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's godly. That's what Jesus warned about. I'm just trying to do what he told me to do. Believe in him. If he said, hey, believe in me or no consequences, a lot less people would believe in him. But because they reject judgment, they're not willing to do any kind of behavior reform. What would be the purpose of behavior reform for an atheist? There is none. That's why they're constantly attacked for having no morality. There is no morality. In fact, if I was an atheist, okay, if I was a true atheist, I would not want to convert anyone. Because if everyone was an atheist, we would have complete anarchy and it would just be survival of the fittest. I would want everyone to be subdued with lies so that they wouldn't realize that that was the case, so I could selfishly live out my own ambitions. But you know what? I can't selfishly live out all my ambitions if everyone realizes there's no consequences. You know, the only thing that keeps society moving and sustaining is the fear of consequences and the fear of judgment. That's why we have police. That's why we have law. That's why we have God. And the fear of judgment restrains people from doing wicked. If I was a true atheist, there's no benefit in me converting anyone. Why? Look, the animals, they just murder each other and do all kinds of stuff. Why? Because there's no consequence to them doing whatever they want. And if we all just reject God, we'll just all kill each other and just eat, drink, and be merry and die, because there's no point. That's why some of these atheists, they go out on shooting rampages. They're the worst people throughout history, committing all kinds of genocide and all kinds of abominable filth because they don't believe that there's consequences. Jeffrey Dahmer, he murdered people constantly because he thought there was no consequences. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Let's pause for a second. He said that was good. It's good to be persecuted. It's good to have tribulation. It's good to be protested. Don't tell me it's negative. It's good. I like it. Look at verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because their testimony among you is believed in that day. The Bible says that God will recompense them at one point in time. And notice this, the people that trouble you. Oh, nobody ever troubles me. Well, I guess this wasn't written to you then. You know, it was written to Steadfast Baptist Church. It was written to those that live godly. It was written to those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be people that trouble you. But you know what? God will recompense them. In flaming fire. That sounds intense. I don't want to be on the receiving end of that. You know what? Man can hurt. God can hurt way worse, all right? Now I'm going to give you, go to Proverbs 17, but I'm going to read for you a couple different things. The Bible says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. God said in his Bible that he hates the workers of iniquity. He has love for them. For God so loved the world. But notice that love word is past tense. Look, the people that hate the gospel, they hate Jesus Christ. They can get to a point where God just has nothing but hate for them. And you know what? When people die and go to hell, that's not loving. Did you ever realize that hell is not a loving place? And you know where most people go? Hell. And it's not just the moment that they take their last breath. Many times there's people that are in that situation before they take that last breath. Now, we don't know. There's people that could be, you know, fall victim to atheism, and then, you know, they were kind of ignorant of a lot of things in the Bible. They're explained the gospel, and they believe in Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying every atheist is condemned today, but I am saying that the majority of these people have no hope because they've already rejected the truth. They hate the truth. They hate God. And the Bible puts them in the category of the workers of iniquity. And the Bible says they're dangerous. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool and his folly. The Bible says it would be better for you to run into a she-bear that is mad. She is super fired up. You try to rip out a baby from a mother's arms and see what comes out of, you know, see the bear that comes out. She will destroy you. And it's saying literally you would rather have that come upon someone than to believe in atheism. Atheism is more dangerous than a physical bear trying to murder you, trying to eat you and kill you. And notice when robbed of her whelps, this one's not just a normal bear, it's an angry bear. I mean, it's really upset, okay? That's how dangerous atheism is. I'm not going to expose my children to this junk, to this garbage, to these lies. And you know what? The countries that embrace atheism, it's a hellhole. It's a horrible place to live. I looked up the 6 countries with the most atheists. Number 1, China. Now, China has the highest percentage, okay? Now, it came into be why they're so atheistic is from Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong, and throughout his 27-year reign until 1976, he became their ruling party in 1949. He spread communism and socialism. He spread a philosophy called the Great Leap Forward. The Great Leap Forward was from 1958 to 1962, 4 years. And just 4 years, this guy is argued to have killed anywhere from 18 to 56 million of his own people through starvation. Because they collect, what is socialism and communism? Basically, all of your personal businesses and the companies that you work for, they're all just absorbed by the government. That's not yours anymore. Now the government owns it. All the farming, all the agriculture. Oh, you think that's your land? Now it's the government's land. They literally stole all the all the agricultural environment of their entire land and said, now it's state run. Now it's government run. And guess what the government does? Nothing well. So you know what? They had a bunch of famine and crop failure and did a bunch of bad practices and destroyed all the food source. So then everybody's starving to death. And they literally, in 4 years, killed 50 million people. That's what these advocates for atheism are like. It's dangerous. That's not a godly philosophy. You know what? You could look at all kinds of other atheist leaders. They're wicked as hell. Japan is number two. Czech Republic, France, Australia, Iceland. These are not places that I want to live. And look, some people say, well, you're so against America too. Why don't you move somewhere else? I still think America's probably the best place to live. I can't think of a country that I think, wow, that's way better. That's more godly. The problem is everybody's waxing worse at the same time. And I want our country to not. I want to actually stand up and still believe in the same faith and morals that we've had for hundreds of years. And to believe the Bible and to reject this dangerous philosophy of hating God, of hating righteousness, of hating truth. They're the ones that are dangerous. They're saying we're so dangerous, they're dangerous. Don't let them change the narrative. And you ought to say, you know what? It's important for me to go to a church that's fighting against the dangers of this world. If we just let atheists and all these fags take over our country, it's going to be a hellhole for your children. You must hate your children to not want to fight for truth and righteousness and things that are godly. You know what? I actually love my children, and I actually want them to have the best possible situation they can. Now, obviously, the way we're headed is really rough. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're almost finished this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible says that these fools will be destroyed, and God will judge them. God judged Mao Zedong. God judged the atheists of China. God is judging these countries that hate him and reject him. They have all kinds of cursing and rebuke and famine and disease. God is not going to just sit here and let people just say whatever they want and get away with it. And what's their big sign that they wave? The rainbow. Because they reject, oh, we reject the flood, but guess what? We want to embrace the rainbow. Interesting how that works. Interesting, they say, well, God's not going to judge us with water. Yeah, it's going to be fire. That's why we like to see those flags, you know, burning. Burn the flags and the fags. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice, in order to have any knowledge, it comes from the fear of the Lord. But if you reject God, if you reject the Lord, you don't have any knowledge. That's why they're literally the dumbest people on the planet. Skip down to verse 24. It talks about the end thereof of these people. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said at not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What is the Bible teaching here? The Bible is teaching very clearly that these people, they hated God. They rejected the gospel. They rejected the fear of the Lord. They rejected the Bible. And then there's going to come a day when God is going to judge them. And you know what happens to all these atheists whenever they get in a bad situation? Oh, God, will you help me? They're not really atheists. They know God exists. They know the Lord exists. You know what the problem is? Too late. When God's judging you for rejecting him, you can't call on his name and then get saved. He says he's going to mock you. He's going to mock them. These people that constantly mocked him, he's like, just wait. I'm going to mock you when I'm destroying you and punishing you. Look, when God laughs in the Bible, it's not funny. It's serious. When God laughs, it's terrifying. Because he's usually destroying people. And he's laughing at them. God has a sense of humor, but you know what? These atheists won't like it. And notice in verse 32, it says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. What does that mean? What does it mean that that's going to slay them? Well, because stupid people reject the Bible, because the majority of this world is too foolish to believe the Bible, they're encouraged and strengthened by numbers, and they themselves will not believe in Jesus Christ. They'll say, oh, there's tons of people that reject the Bible. You know, there's tons of people that don't believe in the fables and all these things. You know, all the stupid people, they don't believe in him. Yeah, of course they don't. The turning away of the simple. You know what? They turn away from truth. They turn away from righteous ways. They turn away from the Bible. All the simple-minded, they don't like the Bible. And because the atheists see that, he gets encouraged to also turn away. And that's going to slay him. Because the truth was what was going to preserve him. The Bible is what was going to help him. Notice this. It says in the end of that phrase, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Because they have so many atheists that are rich, they think, well, I guess the Bible's not true. Seth MacFarlane, the most famous atheist when it comes to a monetary value, he's worth $150 million, the creator of Family Guy. Because he exists, he's making other atheists fall to destruction. They see the prosperity of an atheist like Seth MacFarlane, and it encourages them to also live ungodly, to also do wicked things. Well, look, he's prospering. Richard Dawkins, supposedly worth $135 million. Well, look how prosperous these guys are. Obviously, God doesn't exist. That's their logic. That's their reasoning. But it's going to destroy them. Sir Ian McKellen, worth $55 million. Now, here's an interesting fact about Sir Ian McKellen. He has such an issue with anti-homosexual component of Christianity that he has a reputation of ripping out Leviticus 18:22 from hotel Bibles. He hates the Bible so much that all of the literature in here against homosexuality, he rips out. Why, if it's such a fable? Why, if it's not true? If God doesn't really exist, why do you care? I mean, how many books talk negatively about homosexuality? I mean, there's a lot to choose from. Why the Bible? You know, unfortunately, though, you got Baptists today. You got Christians today. They're so ashamed, they'd like to rip it out of their Bible, too. My question is, do we not all believe the Bible? I actually love Leviticus 18:22. I love it that it says it's abomination. I love every word of God. I think it's pure. That's why I started a church called Pure Words Baptist Church. I love God's word. I love the truth. I love righteousness. These people are literally ripping it out of their Bible. And you tell me, oh, we don't have anybody attacking us. Well, you must not be preaching the Bible then. You say, why do they get so mad at you? Because I actually read Leviticus 18. He's ripping it out of Bibles. Of course he's going to be offended when I preach it. Of course he's going to be offended when we all stand up and say we believe it. I mean, what would he do if I got a billboard with it on it? Don't test me, all right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look, they will be judged. And these proponents, Richard Dawkins and them, they're not going to be converted. You're wasting your time, Ray Comfort, you idiot, you moron, you fool. Oh, we need to get into apologetics, and we need to set up debates with these atheists. Have you been reading any of the verses I went through? You must have been taking a nap. Because my Bible's making it pretty clear what these people are like, what their agenda is, what their problem is. And then people want to say, well, our problem is we just need to convince people that God exists. Well, look, even if I converted someone from, you know, atheism to theism, That doesn't mean they're saved. You know, most people that believe that there's a God are still unsaved. All the Hindus, unsaved. All those that practice Judaism, unsaved. Everyone in Israel that rejects Jesus is not saved. I don't care what people lie and say. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you have the wrath of God abiding on you, is what the Bible says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Skip down to chapter 3, verse 18. You say, yeah, but they say y'all are stupid. They say y'all are foolish. Of course, the Bible told us that. The cross is foolishness to the Greeks. The Bible is foolishness to the unsaved. You know what? To me, it's the power of God. To me, it's the greatest thing imaginable. The cross. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? I have to become a fool in the eyes of the world to be wise in the sight of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. You know what? If I truly want to have God look at me and say, you know what? You're wise. This world has to think I'm a fool. The world has to think that I'm stupid. I'm not going to have respect of this world. People will look at me or look at this church and be like, man, it seems like everybody's going to dislike you. Marvel not if the world hates you. That's what my Bible says. They think you're foolish. Well, you know what? I want to be wise in the sight of God today. But you know what? If you're going to try and pander to the world, you better find another church because you're going to look like a fool if you come here. Say, y'all are on a cult. You're so foolish. You're so stupid. You're a bunch of Bible thumpers. Great. Because you know what? I'm going to be wise in the sight of God, not in the sight of men. I don't care what man thinks. They can call me foolish all they want. I only care what this Bible says. And that's why I always challenge people. I say this. If you disagree with anything I'm doing, anything I'm saying, you show me in this Bible and I'll fix it immediately. Immediately. But people, they don't want to attack me with, you know, actually things are in the Bible. Saying, have you read this verse? Have you considered what Christ did here? Now, people say, hey, be like Christ. I say, oh, what's Christ like? Well, he was, you know, constantly fighting with the religious leaders of his day. He was hated of the world. Okay, so am I allowed to be hated of the world? No. Am I allowed to constantly attack the religious leaders of today? No. You're supposed to be loving. What was Christ like again? It's like a contradiction. Oh, be like Christ. Oh, the one that constantly rebuked people, testified of their evil deeds, went around and rebuked the Pharisees, taught truth, caused a lot of people to be offended. They crucified him. He was considered a fool. They were mocking him on the cross. Oh, Jesus was so respected. Yeah, he was so respected. They put him on the cross and mocked him and sneered at him and jeered at him while he was on that cross. And you think that you're better than Christ, don't you? Well, yeah, but I want the world to love me and tell me how special I am. And I'll have the mayor and the governor come, and I'll have everybody, I'll have the president come, and we'll pray for him. What a fake. What a phony. That David Platt joke of a false prophet. He has Trump come into his sanctuary, and he prays blessings for him. What in the world? Trump? The promoter of everything that's wicked? An adulterer? He literally is holding the LGBT flag saying, I want to legalize LGBT in every country. He wants to advocate fags. And I'm supposed to stand here and bless him. Oh, I hope that God allows you to do that to every country, to sodomize every nation on this planet. You kidding me? I'll pray for him, but it won't be the same prayer. Now look, if he's unsaved, I would hope he would get saved. I hope anybody gets saved, okay? I'm not against anybody being saved. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and bless someone that's leading our country into abomination and filth. You're a joke if you think that. You don't believe the Bible if you think that. You're a joke if you think Jesus is like, oh, bless you, Pilate. You're doing such a good job. Oh, Herod, you wonderful person, you. He ignored Herod. He wouldn't even talk to the guy. He just completely rejected him. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. I know it's a little bit longer. Last verse I'll have you turn, okay? You can't fix these atheist fools, okay? The Bible says If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The Bible says, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Saying, if you ground him down into just finite little fragments, his foolishness would still be there. You can't get it out of him, all right? And my Bible also says this, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Those that are willingly ignorant, I'm not going to try and convert you. You know who I want to have compassion on? The people that are not willingly ignorant. When I go and I show them, hey, have you ever heard what the Bible says about the gospel? No. Well, let me show you. They say, hey, the Bible says you have to be a good person to go to heaven. Actually, it says something different. Can I show you that? You know, when you talk to these atheists, you know what they'll tell you? Yeah, the Bible says all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you'll go to heaven. You're right. It says when you believe in him, you get eternal life and you can't go to hell. Yeah. I don't have anything to show you. I mean, what am I going to show you? You already know it. You just reject it and hate it. Now, why did God give us this great story, okay? Verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The Bible says, because we know the truth, because we know all these scoffers and mockers will be burned up and destroyed, then what kind of person should you be? Do you want to be the person that looks back on your life and says, man, there's all these God haters that were destroyed by Jesus, and they came to my church and I decided, you know what, I don't want to show up to church. I'm going to get discouraged. You know what they win then? They're trying to stop you from going to church. They're trying to stop you from preaching the gospel. They're trying to stop you from doing that which is godly. But you know what? I'm not trusting in them. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that he's going to return and knowing that he's going to recompense me. That means I ought to know how I ought to live. I ought to fear him. I ought to fear God and say, you know what? What does God want me to do today? He wants me to come to this church and to preach the word of God and then go out and preach the gospel and get people saved and then come back and hear some more of the Bible preaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching, as the Bible says. Meaning, whenever these doors are open, I'm here. I want to be here. I want to be in church. I want to be with God's people. I want to be strengthened by the word of God. You know why? Because I get so beat down by the world today. The world's constantly trying to discourage you. There's so much sin and filth and abomination. You read all kinds of stories, horrifying stories. The news is flooded with all kinds of wickedness and filth. Babies being hurt and people being hurt and children being hurt and wickedness and evil abounding. I want to come to a place that actually gets to hear some truth this morning, to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my might. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for telling us about scoffers, about mockers, about the God haters, so that we wouldn't be discouraged when they come, but rather would be strengthened. You would increase our faith, that we would see what you wrote, the words that you gave us, and we would just believe them. And not only would we believe them, but we'd also embrace them. You want us to endure the affliction of the scoffers. You want us to endure the mocking and the persecution and the afflictions. Why? Because it strengthens our heart and it gives more glory and honor to you. I just thank you for this church. I pray that you just strengthen the hearts of every single person in here and we would continue to serve you in Jesus' name.